This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise.
We've been targeting BlackRock, and we're hoping to move this institution, which has enormous influence over these actors, given their holdings, billions and billions of dollars in agribusiness companies in Brazil, and the major commodity traders like Cargill, which is a U.S.-based company, Archer Daniels Midland, Bungie, are just some examples where BlackRock can have an increasing influence and must have increasing influence in the crisis we're witnessing.
Over the past 50 years, around 17% of the Amazon rainforest has been destroyed, according to the World Wildlife Fund. But as this week's guest on Sea Change Radio explains, with fires and deforestation out of control, the situation could get even worse before we see any significant improvement. We speak to Christian Poirier of Amazon Watch to get a clearer picture of this largely man-made disaster in Brazil. While some steps to control the fires have been made recently by the Brazilian government, rampant deforestation continues unabated. Poirier gives us a closer glimpse into the agribusiness giants that are involved in the devastation, what his organization is doing to help stop it, and tells listeners what they can do to get involved in the struggle. Then we take a peek into the Sea Change Radio archives and hear Kevin Walker talk about what he calls our grand food bargain. I'm joined now on Sea Change Radio by Christian Poirier. He's a program director at Amazon Watch. Christian, welcome to Sea Change Radio.
Thanks for having me.
We recently discussed the Amazon fires in Brazil with Manga Bay journalist Carla Mendes, and I recommend our listeners fill in some of the blanks for themselves by listening to that in our archives if they want. But maybe you can first give us your perspective on what's happening in the Amazon in terms of this ecological disaster.
Sure. I mean, I think it is important to see it as an ecological disaster. What's happening today is an explosive growth in wildfires that were set intentionally by a range of actors. The worst fires we're witnessing have been set by mainly by large cattle ranching operations, land grabbers and speculators, and other illegal actors who are acting with impunity in Jair Bolsonaro's Brazil. These fires are directly linked to a spike in deforestation under Bolsonaro's watch. They are often set where deforestation happened recently and forests were allowed to dry out and then become very susceptible to fire and have spread into primary forests as well. We're seeing almost a double of the number of forest fires set across Brazil since last year, this being the burning season. And most of these fires are burning in the Amazon, many of them on indigenous territories. So what we're witnessing today is not only an environmental catastrophe, but a humanitarian and human rights catastrophe. Not to mention, of course, the loss of major biodiversity, because the Amazon is hosts about 10% of the planet's biodiversity. We're seeing a spike in carbon emissions from Brazil as a result of this these fires and forest loss, which is, of course, exacerbating and driving the climate chaos we've already come to see on our planet. So we're seeing today a perfect storm of conditions of true emergency level.
And why don't you talk about some of the work that you and your colleagues at Amazon Watch are doing to not only highlight the problems that are happening right now, but fight some very large actors in the region.
Well, Amazon Watch is a human rights and environmental organization that's been around for about 23 years. We're based in the Bay Area in Oakland, California. We work in Brazil and also in Peru, Ecuador, and Colombia with indigenous organizations and environmental organizations, a worldwide movement really for human rights and environmental protection, but really focused on the importance of the Amazon as a key component of environmental stability on our planet, not to mention a place where we need to protect the rights of indigenous peoples as the forest's best guardians. And what we're seeing today is, of course, a major cause for concern. It's also a cause for concern because we, through our research at Amazon Watch, have identified how northern actors, be them commodity traders, importers, or financial institutions, are complicit in what's happening today. Our companies in North America and Europe are enabling the worst behavior, and the worst behavior being illegal deforestation, in the setting of fires we're witnessing, and human rights abuses that are linked to these actions. So we mapped a set of actors in North America and Europe that are involved in environmental crime, and that they are doing business with environmental criminals in Brazil. And as I mentioned earlier, environmental criminality right now is explosive under Jair Bolsonaro, whose regime is entirely tolerating and enabling this behavior, allowing it to flourish. So we, as consumers in these companies, are banking with financial actors that are enabling these factors to unfold in Brazil, are ourselves complicit, unfortunately, in what we're seeing today. And Amazon Watch is helping to shine a spotlight on this behavior and on these relationships. So we feel like it's very important because we actually have considerable leverage over what's happening today in Brazil. And we as an international organization need to offer solidarity to organizations that are working in Brazil, be them environmental organizations or in particular Brazil's national indigenous movement, which are pushing back and resisting the Bolsonaro regime. Our opinion, and I think theirs as well, is that they will really only be effective in today's very brutal political landscape in Brazil if they receive the solidarity and the strong support of international organizations and international civil society. And one way we can do that is by looking at how we are driving the disaster we're seeing today through our choices as consumers, and also see ourselves as voices, as constituents over governments, be them in North America or Europe, that have a lot of say as to how Brazil acts, particularly through trade relationships. This is one of the only places we can affect Bolsonaro and his regime today, is by going after the very industry, agribusiness, that is driving this destruction and is also driving the policies that have brought it to life.
When you speak about these leverage points, is that what you're referring to, being able to kind of push back against these agribusinesses?
That's right. I mean, Brazilian agribusiness is a very diverse sector. So there's good actors and there's bad actors. We're looking at the worst actors in Brazilian agribusiness, who also happen to be driving the most brutal rollback on human rights and environmental protections in Brazil since the fall of the country's military dictatorship more than 30 years ago.
Can you name some names for us?
Absolutely. What we have identified in terms of the international enablers are institutions, financial institutions like BlackRock, JP Morgan Chase, Santander, which is a Spanish bank, or BNP Paribas, which is a French bank, which also incidentally owns the Bank of the West here in the United States. Our research show how these financial actors are enabling the worst actors in Brazilian agribusiness. When it comes to commodities and products that we buy, companies like McDonald's are basically storefronts for big commodity traders like Cargill that deal in Brazilian soy. Walmart, Cisco are companies that are importing, for example, Brazilian beef, and Brazilian cattle is the leading driver of deforestation. As I mentioned earlier, it's cattle ranchers that are setting a lot of these fires. So these are some of the brand names we've been able to bring to the fore, to in Costco as well, to demonstrate how we are ourselves enabling this worst behavior.
So how does a small organization like Amazon Watch multiply its power against some of these behemoths of industry?
Well, we are part of a movement. So Amazon Watch is in no way acting alone. And as I mentioned earlier, we're acting in solidarity with Brazil's movement, which of course we consider to give our work all the more urgency and legitimacy, because this is not about, foreign groups trying to influence Brazil. We're working with movements in Brazil that are really trying to push back. So as part of a movement, we're working with organizations like Greenpeace, like Friends of the Earth, like Rainforest Action Network, to leverage these big actors, be them financial institutions or big retailers or traders that are behind what we're seeing today. And we actually, with the power of our networks, have real influence. And I think what we're seeing already is movement in areas like, say, Brazil's meatpacking sector, where they recognize the threat to their bottom line that Bolsonaro's policy poses. And they're scrambling to show that they can do better. So we understand that it's a long process to move these actors. We don't have a lot of time, but we absolutely need to move some of the key actors. BlackRock is one of them. The largest asset manager on the planet is also involved in the worst industries in high-risk forest commodities that we're seeing drive the process in Brazil today. So we've been targeting BlackRock, and we're hoping to move this institution, which has enormous influence over these actors, given their holdings, billions and billions of dollars in agribusiness companies in Brazil, and the major commodity traders like Cargill, which is a U.S.-based company, Archer Daniels Midland, Bunge are just some examples where BlackRock can have an increasing influence and must have increasing influence in the crisis we're witnessing.
Since BlackRock doesn't really have a brand name itself, do you target some of the brand names that it finances?
Absolutely.
And I guess as a subset of that, how do you still hit BlackRock where it hurts if they don't actually have a product that you can boycott?
Well, we're hoping that BlackRock's the impacts on BlackRock's reputation as a leading asset manager will bring the company essentially to the table with our coalition of organizations, to which it'll feel compelled to use its influence to clean up the act of the companies it's financing. So this is very much the visibility on the company, which it would prefer to avoid, we are bringing. Just for example, last Thursday in San Francisco, we organized a major protest in front of BlackRock's offices, and there were other protests around the world in front of BlackRock's offices. The company simply has never gotten this kind of exposure and negative publicity, and we're hoping that it will help to encourage its leadership to recognize that it'll begin to create risk for its portfolio as being seen as a bad actor. Up to now, it's managed to spin the media to have, for example, its CEO, Larry Fink, to be seen as a citizen for good and someone who's the conscience of Wall Street. Well, we are shooting that argument full of holes, and we're hoping that these efforts will compel BlackRock and other financial institutions where we actually have, as consumers, more leverage, for example, JP Morgan Chase, to come to the table and recognize that they need to also clean up their act as the largest financial enablers of the worst actors in Brazil.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking to Christian Poirier. He is a program director at Amazon Watch. So, Christian, we were just speaking about shining a spotlight on some of these bad actors in Brazil as the Amazon fires continue to rage. Maybe you can shed some light on some of the people who are in the crossfire, so to speak, while the Amazon burns. if you can put more of a human face on some of the people who have suffered from these for-profit fires, that would be terrific.
Sure. Well, as an organization that focuses primarily on the rights of the diverse indigenous peoples across the Amazon, and who are often suffering the brunt of the impacts of disasters like we're witnessing today, be them forest fires or so-called development of infrastructure projects or what have you, we feel like it's very important to highlight what's happening on indigenous territories, which is very dramatic. There's been nearly a doubling of forest fires set on indigenous territories, and I have to stress these are criminal arson activities this year. So there's been, between January and August, nearly 10,000 fires set across 274 indigenous territories in the Amazon. This is unacceptable. It's humongous in terms of impacts. Some territories, like the Canela territory in the state of Tocantins, has seen 40% of its land burned to the ground, and others have seen villages burned half or entire in their entirety. The response has been inadequate from the state, of course, because the state is, as I would say, entirely complicit in what's happening. And so indigenous firefighters have had to work with limited means to put out these fires. And there's only an indication that these will grow. So the numbers of the scale of devastation on indigenous territories is very difficult to gauge right now. But it is of an immense concern to us and our partners on the ground, because we understand that indigenous peoples are being intentionally targeted by Jair Bolsonaro and have been since day one as so-called impediments to the country's growth. Indigenous territories in the Amazon, which are almost a quarter of the Brazilian Amazon, are the best preserved forests and also represent sort of a buffer against runaway deforestation, destruction, and really climate change. And it's precisely for this reason that Bolsonaro's targeting and his agribusiness sector buddies are targeting these areas as a place to aggressively expand their operations, be it in terms of agribusiness or mining or infrastructure development. And so the fires are what you could call as a first line of invasion. You know, when you knock down these areas, you're making them more susceptible to land grabbing, to other pressures, even if they are officially demarcated, like titled territories, which many of these are the vast majority of the fires are burning on titled indigenous territories, which is to say territories that have federal protections. So, you know, the impacts are manifold, of course, not just destroying forests, but destroying waterways upon which indigenous peoples rely, destroying villages, of course, where people live, creating terror and fear in indigenous communities, undermining really the security that they must feel to continue to live and to have continuity in their cultures. And it's important to note that indigenous peoples are very, very tied to the land. So when you see their lands going up in smoke with no state support, with really the understanding that this kind of brutality and destruction will only continue under Bolsonaro, it is psychologically extremely damaging and, really a cause for major concern. For anyone who's concerned with human rights today, this is a very important flashpoint to watch taking place in Brazil on indigenous territories.
And we haven't really touched upon oil at all in this calculus. We've been speaking mostly about the agricultural efforts to clear land, but big oil has a significant role in the region as well, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Less so in the Brazilian Amazon, much more so where Amazon Watch works in Ecuador and Peru. That's where the expansion, aggressive expansion of oil infrastructure is underway, which of course brings another set of impacts on indigenous peoples and other forest peoples.
So what would you advise listeners who want to get involved more than just donating to Amazon Watch or another environmental organization? How can they make the biggest impact, in your opinion, Christian?
One way we can make a difference is by getting informed as individuals and as communities, and by sharing information among ourselves. One way to get informed, I think, is to go to Amazon Watch's site and look at all of the resources that we offer to our public, which is to say articles, blogs, videos, and also really just links to outside resources, because there's a lot of misinformation that's being shared right now as well about what's happening, which is doing a real disservice to the truth. And we're familiar with that right now with the cycles of fake news. So we need to get informed and get good information out to our communities. And then we need to use our understanding as informed individuals to take action. And taking action can take various forms. One way is indeed to donate to organizations like Amazon Watch and our partners, because we not only use donations to advance our work, but also to fund the work of our partners on the ground in Brazil. Frontline communities that are facing the very brutality that we've discussed on our conversation today. So we repass grants to grassroots groups in Brazil, and we consider this to be a very important component of our work. There's also other ways besides donations, of course, to get involved and take action. And as I mentioned earlier, we organized a day of action for the Amazon last Thursday, and this was in front of a lot of Brazilian buildings or government buildings around the world. There was well over 100 actions worldwide, including in Brazil. And also we took action in front of BlackRock and other corporate targets, you could say. So we need to make it clear that the public is not supporting the worst, the companies that are enabling the worst behavior in Brazil. And we can do that also with our pocketbook by not spending money at some of the companies, what we identified and what we call our Dirty Dozen list. Our Dirty Dozen list looks at retailers, financiers, and also traders that are behind today's destruction. And I mentioned earlier, Costco, and Walmart are two of those drivers. So is McDonald's. So we're not exactly calling for a boycott of these companies, but we do have influence over them. And our partners in Brazil are looking at a boycott of Brazilian conflict commodities. So there'll be more information to better understand how Brazil's movement is calling for specific consumer action in the coming months. So I invite listeners today to stay tuned, because we do offer a lot of resources already, but we will continue to offer resources to better understand how we can make a difference.
He's the program director for Amazon Watch, Christian Poirier. Christian, thanks so much for being my guest on Sea Change Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Follow the shift to sustainability with Sea Change Radio on Twitter at twitter.com/SeaChangeRadio and on our Facebook page.
I'm joined now on Sea Change Radio by Kevin Walker. Kevin has been a professor at the School of Veterinary Medicine at Michigan State University, and he's currently an adjunct professor at the College of Agriculture at Michigan State. And his first book is called The Grand Food Bargain. Kevin, welcome to Sea Change Radio.
Thank you, Alex. It's a pleasure to be with you.
First, what is the Grand Food Bargain?
Well, the Grand Food Bargain, the best way to understand the Grand Food Bargain starts by remembering that our ability as humans to change the availability of food over time is the reason why we're alive today. The latest change that I call the Grand Food Bargain began at a time when it looked like America would become a nation of farmers. Instead, we became a nation of consumers who left producing food to others. What we wanted was more food for less effort. So this is one side of the Grand Food Bargain. Those who went on to provide our food, they specialized in turning out greater volumes of food in exchange for more profits. So this is the other side of the Grand Food Bargain. I remember going into a grocery store after living abroad for many years. and feeling this sense of enormity looking at some 50,000 products on neatly arranged shelves and display cases. It's not that there were no stores overseas in Latin America, where I was based, but what the Grand Food Bargain accomplished was to take food to a whole new level of everyday abundance. I knew that if I walked out of that store, that within minutes, there were three other similar stores, not to mention any number of fast food and full-service restaurants. This is the Grand Food Bargain. This is what we see and what we turn to when we're hungry and want food. There's also part of the Grand Food Bargain that we don't often see or that we choose to ignore. And that is the Grand Food Bargain that brought us unforeseen consequences.
And those consequences are playing out in terms of climate change and food safety and some other areas, I'm assuming?
Exactly. The more obvious one that's out there is our own health. And if we compare ourselves to our peer countries, we're near the top in terms of overall wealth, but we're at the bottom in terms of health. We eat more food, spend less on food, but we spend more on healthcare. And we're dead last when it comes to chronic food-related diseases like obesity and diabetes and heart disease. So you can put into that category meat consumption. I mean, we consume twice the meat that's recommended. We consume 2 pounds more per meat than what our neighbors do to the south per week, and 1 pound more per week than what our neighbors do to the north. So that's one consequence. And then you mentioned global warming. And because what powers the Grand Food Bargain is the food system. That food system has become a primary contributor of not just pollutants in streams and waterways, but heat-trapping gases in the atmosphere. Not only CO2, but something called nitrous oxide, which the EPA said is about 300 times more potent than a molecule of CO2. So that's also part of the Grand Food Bargain. So Alex, those are some of the more visible things that we can see, but there are also less visible costs as well. The Grand Food Bargain favored larger farms and food businesses, which has over time helped to hollow out rural America. And it's led to fewer economic opportunities and viable communities, including schools and hospitals. And then there's one last example I'd like to touch on. And that was while we were busy changing food to be more abundant, food was changing us. We began to see access to food as a simple transaction in exchange for money. Our food now comes from stores and restaurants. That's where we think of. If we want more food, we simply bring more money. But it wasn't just that. It's also that the significance of how food was changing us either passed over us or seemed unimportant.
Well, it's a terrific book. Kevin Walker, The Grand Food Bargain. Kevin, thanks so much for being my guest on Sea Change Radio.
Thank you, Alex. It was a pleasure talking with you.
Sway the future to the past and find what will endure.
You've been listening to Sea Change Radio. Our intro music is by Sanford Lewis, and our outro music is by Alex Wise. Additional music by Ernest Ranglin, John Butler Trio, and Ohio Players. Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For Sea Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.